Thank you. It's fairly amazing. I wipe mine off, but I have a little curl left right here in my little finger pit, so it's kind of cute. So anyway, so that's what we're talking about. We're talking about, we're not talking about mustaches necessarily, but we're talking about disguises because, you know, that's kind of something we're really familiar with. I mean, honestly, as people, whether you're Christians, whether you're not a Christian, I don't care who you are, we're all really familiar with disguises. And it's not just because you dressed up as Roger Rabbit when you were a little kid, or maybe that was me. For Halloween in 1995. Maybe that was me. You know, I remember. I don't know. It was really cool though. But you know, we're familiar with that kind of stuff because, you know, little kids love to play dress up. Maybe you still do, you know. And even deeper than that, on a more real note, you know, we all oftentimes in our lives have something we're trying to hide, something we're trying to disguise. On the fun level, you know, we've seen movies like Mission Impossible. Maybe you've seen Pink Panther. Maybe you've seen some type of spy movie, you know, whether it's The Saint, whatever it is. You know, a lot of times, you know, with secret agents, they wear disguises so they can blend in. So they can go into covert operations. A couple years ago, I used to watch this show called Alias all the time. It was tight, man. It was one of the best shows in the entire world before Lost. And it was really cool. And Alias was the hottest show on television until the last season, because then it really just tanked. And it was like a shame. But anyway, it was really cool. And this girl, the secret agent from the CIA, you know, she would wear these weird wigs, and they would have like these fake noses, and they would wear, you know, all these weird things so they can get in certain places to do certain things. And that's what they would do. So they could go and like kill people and take pictures of weird things and like destroy secret agent man things and stuff, you know? And in our lives, that happens a lot too. You know, a lot of times we want to blend in with certain crowds or types of people. Sometimes, you know, we disguise our life, or we disguise our heart, or we disguise certain things in our lives so we can kind of go through life unnoticed, or so we can go through life without having people point out certain things that we want to stay hidden, that we want to keep to ourselves. You know, whether it is something in the past, whether it is maybe a hurt, whether it is maybe a habit, maybe it is something that we don't like about ourselves. I mean, girls, why you wear makeup, okay? Oh, Jesus. You know, but honestly, there's been times that I've thought, man, if only I could cover this blemish. That's why the Lord gave us mustaches, I guess. But it's kind of weird to kind of curl it up over here. But anyway, that's why we do these things, because we kind of want to put these things in hidden places. And that's what we do. A lot of times we wear disguises in our lives. You know, there's even times in our lives where maybe you've never been there, maybe you haven't been there, but where we've just tried to completely turn our identity into the identity of somebody else. Where we try to, you know, whether it's like a movie star, or maybe it's like this person on TV, you want to dress like them, you want to be this kind of style, wear this kind of label. And all of a sudden, we want to kind of fit in with the status quo of our school or the people we hang out with. And, you know, the truth is, sometimes we get so into these things of trying to hide ourselves, we lose ourselves. Sometimes we try to get so deep into this kind of stuff that we end up giving away our identity. Or we end up living a life that's on the run instead of living a life that's genuine and real. So we need to be careful. You know, in Romans 12, 1 through 2, I want to read this two ways to you. I want to read this once from my Bible. It's the New King James Version. I want to read it in kind of a different slant. But the Bible says in the New King James, it says this. It says, I beseech you, I'm begging you, therefore, brethren, that's me and you, brethren and sistren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Then God's saying unashamedly, openly, he says, I want you to give me your everything. Just spill your guts out on the floor to me. You know, I want to know you inside and out, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. It's the least we can do, is to be honest with God, to be passionate for our God. The least we can do is to live our whole life for him. And it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you would prove that it's good, what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. You know, God says, you know, there's two ways you can do this. Is you can either look like everything else around us, or you can begin to look like the way I designed you to be. You can look and live life like I wanted you to. To either be conformed to the way things are, or transformed to the way things should be. You know, another way of saying this, go ahead, give it to me up here, Romans 12, 1. It says, you like kind of like that, how we're typing it out? Yes, kind of. All right. Okay, cool. Anyway, it says, so here's what I want. Yeah, it's kind of. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does. Oh, snaps, give it back to me because I don't have it. Thank you. I was like afraid. Sorry, I'm typing out again. It says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. It says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. You know, the Bible's telling us, God's saying, look, guys, don't live life so much that there's no difference between you and everyone else. Don't live life so much that not yet you don't just look like or act like everybody else, but even more so that if you call yourself a Christian, you say you love God or you're living for God, don't live a life that looks so much like a person who doesn't live for God, who doesn't know God. You know, if we look just like the world, if we look like everybody else, then what is there to distinguish between you and someone who doesn't know Jesus? I mean, to be honest, sometimes even we as Christians can be out, you know, we can be outserved by people who don't know God. We can be out generosityized. Sometimes people don't know Jesus more generous than us who know Jesus. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. Yeah. Sometimes that can happen. And you know, other people end up doing the job of the church when we're on the sidelines, when we should be looking like Jesus. All of a sudden, you know, we sometimes take a back seat at that. You know, the Bible's telling us right here that we need to make sure our lives, that we aren't disguised, but it's open. You know, the Bible's telling us that we need to stick out like a sore thumb. It should be obvious that something's different to us. And that's not just, and it's not just because maybe we bring our Bible to school. Because that's good. That's what I used to do. There's times I get flack for it back when I was a Christian in high school. It happens. You know, the Bible's telling us that whatever we do, we can't blend in. You shouldn't blend in exactly with your surroundings. You know, Jesus said, his last prayer was, you know, he would say, Father, I pray that you wouldn't take them out of the world, but that you would keep them in the world, that they wouldn't be of it or like it or similar to it, but God, that they would be not of this world, that they would be taken out from a part of it and they would be different from, even though they live in the midst of it. You know Jesus says that we need to stick out like a sore thumb. Now, I don't know if that necessarily means you got to be weird or anything. I don't know if that means you got to be like the nerdy Christian. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you do. I mean, maybe there's nothing wrong with being it. And now, don't get me wrong, because I know we've been trying to get away from this old idea. But maybe there's no getting away from the nerdy Christian. I don't know. See, I don't know. I don't have this figured all out yet either. But maybe that's just what it means. I mean, if it means that I'm going to be a nerdy, weird person who loves God, if that means I'm not going to get drunk on the weekends, if it means that I'm not going to sell weed, meth, any drug of your oxy, any drug of your choosing. I mean, if that makes me a nerd, that makes me weird. Well, I don't know. I guess that means I'm weird. I guess that means if it means that I'm not going to yell and get in fights and cuss people. If it means I'm going to forgive. If that makes me like uncool, then I guess I'm branded for the rest of my life to be uncool. I mean, I can't help that because that's what it means for me to serve my God. Is I'm just going to be different. That's what it means for you. If you can be a cool person who loves God, then that's good. But me, I've given up being cool a long time ago. I know, for the rest of my life. Maybe it's because I'm old. I know I'm not going to be cool. I'm never, ever, I will never be as cool as Donnie. I will never, because Donnie's cool. Donnie, thank you, because maybe it's because we're both uncool together. I don't know. I will never be cool as Ronnie, because Ronnie's got to be, because she cuts everybody's hair. She's stylish. She's, you know, her, I mean, some people are cool, but I'm not, you know, and I understand that. I'm going to stick out like a sore thumb because of that. You know, when me and Pastor Michelle, when we go to my family's house and stuff like that, when we chit, sometimes it's just kind of different, you know. Everybody's out in the back, they're drinking, they're smoking, and I'm in there watching Mickey Mouse with my little kid, you know? I don't fit in that situation, you know? That's the way it goes. I'm going to stick out like a sore thumb because of these things. And that's what it is. See, Jesus even said, look, we're a peculiar people. We're a little bit different. We're a little bit strange. And I don't know if that means like weird, but it just means that we're going to be different than other people. So if you're going to try to be a Christian, you're going to try to live your life for God and have nobody notice, it's not going to work. Let me just tell you flat out, it's not going to work. If you really want to be a Christian, if you really want to be someone who loves God, there's going to be something different about you in the rest of this world. It's just going to happen. there's going to be some disagreements. And that's okay. Doesn't mean that it's going to destroy your world or anything, but it means that there's going to be some things different. And you need to brace yourself for that. Because when it happens, don't be like, oh my gosh, I didn't know. I didn't know I'd have to give this up. I didn't know why. We got to be ready for this kind of stuff. You know, that's what Romans 12, 1 through 3 says. It says, don't be so well adjusted that there's no difference between you. So we need to realize this, that we're called to be different. Not, we're in it, but we're not of it. And that's what we need to realize, is that we can't be so well disguised that we blend in. Because here's what happens is, take a right turn to Timothy, 2 Timothy. You know, there's this thing. See, because what happens is, a lot of times, you know, when we try to put on these disguises, we try to blend in, it's because we're ashamed of something. It's because we're ashamed. Now, I've seen Christians who are ashamed. I've been a Christian who's been ashamed. And I've been a person who's not a Christian who's been ashamed. You know, and shame comes in. Now there's two ways to do this thing called shame. I'm gonna teach you how to be ashamed, okay? There's two ways to be ashamed. Now, this is kind of weird. I know you probably should be teaching you how not to be ashamed, but there's two ways to be ashamed. You can either be ashamed that you're a Christian, or you could be ashamed because you're doing things you shouldn't know how to do. Because shame does is shame hides stuff. Shame makes you want to hide. Shame makes you want to keep something secret. Shame makes you want to, not shame, but shame makes you want to, you know, all of a sudden, you know, it makes you want to put it behind you so nobody sees it. That's what shame does. You know, sometimes we can be really, really shy. You know, maybe sometimes we can be really, really shy and we can be really, really quiet and meek because we're ashamed and we don't like who we are. So we want to try to hide ourselves. We want to try to blend in the background. You know, some people, you know, they don't want to be the center of attention because maybe they don't like something about themselves, or people might find out something about themselves that they think that people won't like. You know, shame causes fear, and that's what shame does. That's how sin gets its power, is because we hide it. So because we're trying so hard to hide it, all of a sudden it becomes a bigger part of our life because we live our whole life trying to hide something. We live our whole life trying to hide behind this evil mustache of shame, the stash of shame and destruction and sin. I like how I tied that one in. All of a sudden that's how we live life. Now, and that's how we're ashamed. Some of us are ashamed that other people would know we go to church. Sometimes we're ashamed that people would find out that we're a Christian. And then we become ashamed of God. So we become an undercover, a hidden, a disguised, a camouflaged Christian. And sometimes we're a Christian and maybe we're in leadership, or maybe all of a sudden, you know, we love God. And maybe there's certain things in our life that we don't want nobody to find out that we're into. And all of a sudden we're not ashamed of God. But we become ashamed of who we are and how we're living life. We become ashamed of our shortcomings. So all of a sudden, you know, we come to church and we put on a front. And so that happens. And sometimes we can be so backwards that when we come to church, we put on a front because we don't want to know people what we're into. We don't want people to know that we do this or we're like this. And then all of a sudden we leave church and we put on another front and we don't want people to know that we're into church or we're into God. And all of a sudden we get stuck and our whole life becomes a lie. And we're not just hypocrites. We're not just two-faced, but man, we're like three or four or five-faced. I mean, I don't know how that one happens, but it happens sometimes. And I know because I've been there. I know that because I've been there. Look, man, I ain't new to the game, you know. I've been there. I've been Christian for a while, and I know the things people go through. I don't know everything, but I know a couple things. And I've been there. I've done that. You know, all of a sudden, it seems like everywhere you turn, you can't be yourself. And God's just screaming for us to let it go. You know, in 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible says it's a pretty famous, pretty popular verse. You know, if you heard it, that's okay. You'll hear it again. And give it a little more time, you'll hear it later on too. But in 2 Timothy 1:6-7, the Bible says this. It says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. He's saying, something that's in you, I want to get out of you. And that's exactly what shame does. It keeps whatever's in you bottled up. But God's saying, whatever's in you, I want to come out of you. Because God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, of shame, of fear. But it says right here, he's given you a power of love and of a sound mind. Of power, of love, and a sound mind. What he's saying is, whatever is on the inside of you, these things I need you to let out of you. I need you to get rid of the shame. Of power, of love, and a sound mind. What God's saying is, instead of you being shame-filled, I want you to be filled with boldness. I want you to be filled with power, with love that expresses itself. I want you to have a sound mind that's not all of a sudden scared and trying to keep everything bottled in, but a mind that's free, a mind that's not stressed out or confused or like, well, what about this? And what about this? You know, he says a sound mind, having peace in your brains. God says, I want you to be bold, because boldness is the opposite of shame. Where shame is trying to hide things, boldness is trying to get it out. Boldness is trying to make it known. Boldness all of a sudden is just letting it flow, just letting it go, just letting it come out of you, just letting it pour out of you. All of a sudden, God's called us to live a life of boldness and power and these things, because all of a sudden, what happens is shame creates a secret life in us. But if we get rid of shame in our lives, all of a sudden the secret life we've been trying to build becomes a public life, a life of boldness and power. See, and when we let go of this, all of a sudden we take away the power of shame. If we're not saying, you know, look, I've been there, I've done this. If we're not, you know, the Bible says when we confess our sins, when we put the shame to the side and we let people know the things we're dealing with, all of a sudden you strip it of its power and you become bold and say, look, I am struggling with this. I don't like this about myself. I'm not comfortable with this. And all of a sudden, everything you've been trying to hold back, everything you've been trying to keep back, all of a sudden, you open yourself up and you allow God to come and heal you. You know, that's why these adults are back here. That's why these adults are sitting with you. That's why I'm here. Because we're here to be able to listen to you. We're here to be someone who's been there and done that. We're here to say, look, if you need prayer, if you need somebody to talk about it, if you need somebody to just if you just need somebody to open our ears and you to pour all your guts into it, and we won't say a word, we'll just look at you and nod. If you just need somebody to talk to, we're here for you guys. Without judgment, without shame, but we're here. Because I'll tell you one thing is, you know, any of the adults in this place, including myself, I mean, if you've been there, we've probably been to a similar place. Or we know people who have been. You know, there's no shame in this house. There shouldn't be any fear in this place. The Bible says God hasn't given you fear. It doesn't belong to you, so don't take it. But he's given you power, love, and a sound mind. And when you live in that, all of a sudden what happens is the secret life we've been building around ourselves all of a sudden gets destroyed and shattered. And we can live a life of boldness. We can live a life that's free, live a life without any chains. We can live a life without any of this garbage holding us back. And all of a sudden the Bible comes out and it says this. In verses, it says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony. It says, God's given us a spirit of power, love, and sound. And why? So we can not be ashamed of the testimony of God. So we can live a life for God unashamedly, unabashedly. Romans 1:16, the Bible says in Romans 1:16, it says this. It says, one of the first verses I ever memorized was this one. It says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God to salvation. That word salvation means any help that you need. That word salvation means any fixing that you have need of whatever's broken in your life. That's what salvation means. It means it fixed what's broken. That's what salvation means. And the Bible says when we're not ashamed, when we have no shame, when we have no fear in our life, we open God's power into our life to fix the problems that we have. Romans 1:16 says that if you have fixing that's needed to be done in your life or in somebody else's life, as soon as you get rid of the shame, you open up your life to have God's power be poured into you or into other people's lives around you. And all of a sudden, it becomes salvation. Because that word salvation isn't just getting to heaven. It never was and it never will be. That's just the beginning. That word salvation originally meant salvation. It means saving and fixing of everything in your life. Your friendships, your family. It means saving your body, your mind, soul, spirit. It means everything. The Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because as soon as we become ashamed of who God is, as soon as we become ashamed of who God has called us to be, what that happens is we begin to put God in a bottle and he can't do anything in our lives. All of a sudden, when we're ashamed of who God is, when we're ashamed of what he's done or gonna do, you know, all of a sudden, you know, if for those of you guys who went to the conference, all of a sudden, you know, what happens is we think, well, if we tell people what happened at this past weekend, then maybe they'll think I'm weird. It'll be weird if they find out that, you know, one of our youth workers, you know, we prayed and we sang really loud and all of a sudden God healed her. They'll think I'm weird, like those people on TV, or I saw that show when people were like wiggling and stuff like that. I mean, nobody wiggled at conference, don't worry. At least I don't think anybody did. But you know, maybe think we're kind of weird, maybe they'll think like one of those shows or something like that. And all of a sudden, you know, we take the power of God and what he's done and what he can do in other people's lives, and we bottle it up instead of sharing it and exposing it to other people. And when we bottle it up and we don't expose it, all of a sudden we take the power of God and we just null and void it. Not because he's not powerful, not because he can't do it, but because we won't let him. And all that happens in our lives. And we become ashamed of these things that God's done in our lives. And we make God's power and we make God's love a secret. when it was never meant to be. Could you imagine that? Making God's love a secret so people don't know that God loves them. Could you imagine that? Making God's healing a secret so people don't know that God wants to heal them. Can you imagine that? Making God's forgiveness a secret so people think God's angry and just peeved at him, waiting to send them to hell. And that's, isn't that kind of how it is a lot of times? Because we've made, maybe other people, maybe the church, maybe whoever has kept it a secret. Says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it's the power. Because it's the answer. Because it's it, because everything me and you and they need. That's what happens. That's what happens when we become unashamed of this thing. We become unashamed. Instead of saying, look, I don't want to tell them because they'll know I'm a Christian. All of a sudden, they'll see me do things that are unchristian. You know what? That's shame. Don't live in shame. Because if you focus on waiting for the next mess up you make, if you focus on saying, well, I'll talk about God when I get things straight and perfect in my life, it's never going to happen. Because that shame is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and the secret's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and you're going to get, and your life is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller. We need to make sure that we live a life that's not secret. We need to be bold about this. And the boldness that God's talking about, the boldness that God desires of us is a boldness that's filled with love. Last verse of the day. Yeah, it kind of went quick, huh? Man, it was kind of good, though. I kind of liked it. Last part is here, is this. Is Romans says, don't blend in. Whatever you do, don't blend in, because we're going to stick out. And if you try to not stick out, you're gonna have a lot of problems. Because when we try not to stick out, it's because we're ashamed of something. We're afraid of something. And shame creates secret lives. And secret lives don't have the power of God. But a life that's living in no shame, a life that's living in boldness, brings God's power. So when you pray, results happen. Boldness, prays big things and sees big results. Boldness says, I got nothing to hide, including my faults. I'm not going to hide it. Including the fact that I don't like my nose. Look at it. It's big, but I love it. I mean, I don't think my nose is big. I think my teeth are kind of weird, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm kind of short, but that's all right. I've learned to live with it. But I'm not ashamed of that. So I'm okay. And when we do that, when we live in godly boldness, a godly openness, it always operates in love. Because what happens sometimes in our lives is when we try to be bold about the things of God, we end up getting rude, or we end up getting mean, or we end up getting judgmental. And that's the way it comes off of. We get bold, and all of a sudden we're like, we start to turn people off because we kind of go in the wrong direction. And boldness becomes rudeness. Boldness becomes judgmentalism. When God's never called us to do that. I mean, judging is God's job, not my job, not your job. So when we live in a godly boldness, we need to make sure that every word we say, every bold thing we do is out of love. The Bible says, last verse in Ephesians 4, it talks about what a godly boldness looks like, a godly spoken outness. It says in Ephesians 4:15 and 16, the Bible says this last verse, and we'll shut it down. In 4:15 and 16, the Bible says, it says, but speaking the truth in love, it just gets done with this big old list of all the things that shouldn't be. It's about speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who's the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, me and you, joined knit together, that every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body, that unites itself in love. That is a mouthful. What it's saying is this, is that when we speak up, when we talk out loud, when we proclaim this thing, to speaking out loud, being bold, the truth in love, we would grow up into things who's ahead. Jesus Christ was in charge. The Bible says anytime we're bold in sharing the love of God, if it doesn't have love in it, then it's rude. If it doesn't have love behind it, then it's not going to work. Instead of turning people on, it's to turn people off to God. So whenever we're bold, whether we're bold with our generosity, maybe we're bold with inviting someone to church, maybe we're bold with saying, hey, do you want me to pray for you? It's not, hey, do you want me to pray for you? Because, man, you nasty. All them guys you with. All of a sudden, that's not truth in love. It's the truth in rudeness. Even though it's truth, that's rude. That's not love. You mean to pray? Because you smell like weed today, man. I know you need prayer. That could be taken as not, you know what I'm saying? And we know they stink like weed. You know what I'm saying? And don't breathe in too much when you're praying for him, because that's not the Holy Spirit. Okay? Making you feel all woo. No, that's not. Speaking of truth and love, that's what it is. We never share God's goodness out of spite or anger. We never share it because we look down or because we think we're better than anybody else. Because the second you think you're better than somebody else, you just need to remember what you used to be like before you came to Jesus, before you came to God, the person you or I used to be. And then, you know, that'll keep you humble real quick. See, this whole thing about disguises, we need to begin to live a life that isn't disguised, a life that sticks out and doesn't blend in, a life all of a sudden that has no shame, but it's bold, because boldness brings God's power. And when God's power gets in our life, all of a sudden we begin to operate in love, and that begins to change people's lives. So, got anything out of God this day? Let's give him praise. Come on. Cool.